closet then. Get the oil. You gotta oil it up.
No, you play ball like a girl, Dan.
Whoa. You just go straight to that?
Oh.
It was the only line that I could think of. Just
you eat your Twinkies with your mama's toe jam.
Ooh.
That was one, too. Yeah, that was one, too.
If you could have... Okay, we all played Little League, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
You're not American unless you play Little League.
You remember how he narrated the movie where he's like, Benny the Jet.
Yeah.
The Great Bambino.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez? Of course we know.
Dude, that guy was the shit. Who would be your local Little League introduction to the Sandlot? Dan?
Like what they're calling
yeah,
me?
Who was the star of your local Little League?
Me.
Dan Perez. Brian Owens.
Oh, geez. It would probably be Nate Bowman or...
Nate the
Jason
Great
Nielsen.
Bowman?
Jason Nielsen, yeah.
Jason the Tank Nielsen.
Oh, just crushing it.
Or Robbie ex-con Vigiani.
Vigiani! Vigiani!
Who would consistently get in fights with his father, who coached third base.
Oh, man.
I do remember that, yeah. You know who was dirty... And who didn't get a lot of praise for... Brian and I played in the same Little League. Robert Otero. Bobby Otero. He would smack the shit out of the ball. And that guy was a great baseball player. And I think we forgot to mention Matt Dempsey, too. He was pretty damn good at baseball.
Yeah, but he wasn't really in our Little League.
Yeah, he wasn't
in
the Little League.
Yeah,
he was in the Sandlot. He did grow up in the Sandlot. Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
Can we talk real quick about the Sandlot and, like, the end of it where he talks about where everybody went. And there's that one kid that's like, oh yeah, he got really mixed up with like the 60s and 70s and they never heard from him again. That's the weirdest epilogue for me because like, what do you mean you never, like, is he dead? Like, it's a small town where everybody knew everybody and this is the one guy no one knows anything about.
Can I put some like real life experience to that too? Because I remember watching that for the first time with my dad. And they said that, and he's like, yeah, he disappeared in the 60s. He just got lost in it. And my dad just goes, yeah, that happened to a few people. Like, just,
yeah, absolutely.
Just completely. Yeah.
When you swan dive into a pile of coke and unprotected sex, sometimes you don't come out.
Does it mean Vietnam, too? Like,
I don't know. I think there was a more experimental hint to that. Yeah, yeah.
They can't say he was free love and drugs.
Yeah.
All right, hey, welcome everybody to Pop Not Soda, your weekly six-pack of pop culture. As always, I'm Dan. How are we doing, fellas?
Doing well, yeah.
Excellent.
Huh? A new question for the show to start off with. How was your weekend?
Ooh.
Never been asked that before.
Zinger there. Curveball, O'Reilly. Mine was pretty good. I didn't do anything. Had a friend over on Saturday. Played some video games.
A good friend...
Good,
okay, friend.
I'd say a good friend. Oh, I'd say a great friend, actually. Yeah, yeah, great friend. We played some Guacamole, which is kind of a cheap video game that you can buy off PlayStation and the show. And I streamed the show and got absolutely annihilated by Brian.
I beat him by over 20 runs.
It was pathetic.
Just almost like LeBron. Who just penetrated the entire Bulls team without their permission. That was... that's a pretty good analogy to Brett and I's
game. So what you're saying, what you did, it rhymes with grape.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
We Twitch streamed it, and it was funny because people were commenting going like, you know how to play the game, right? Like...
Well, Brett left his starting pitcher in for about 15 runs.
Yeah.
And it just didn't ever.
Yeah. It was never uphill.
No.
So it couldn't really go downhill, but it started downhill and it just stayed there in the mud. Yeah.
I mean, wow.
And then after that glorious victory, I headed to a local watering hole, aptly named the Waterfront.
Nice.
I did hear that the reason it's named Waterfront is at some point it was actually next to the water,
which and the water just disappeared.
Which, if you've been there, is not close to the water at all.
Isn't that like 5 blocks away?
Yes, it's not close.
Ooh,
is that what people are doing these days? You could just say like, yeah, it's the desert. near the ocean.
Well, you know what? No, that's okay with me because they always talk about California falling into the ocean and the water coming up. So I'm all right with that. That's productive, especially if shit like San Andreas happens.
So he's just like a morbid Nostradamus restaurant owner that's like calling the stakes like 10 minutes, or I mean 10 years ahead.
Are you sure he's telling the truth? Maybe he just like didn't come up with a better name. So he's like, no, I'll call it the waterfront.
I'm banking on this.
Tell
shit.
People the water used to be here. And then they'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah, you named the goddamn bar the waterfront. At some point, it better be fronting the water. Or else you're just a liar and an asshole. And we got problems.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I haven't been there on a weekend in quite some time. And I forgot the type of clientele that visit that establishment on a weekend night. Picture unmarried,
okay,
probably living at home.
Ooh,
have you know been in and out of jobs for the
like,
last
the kind of person you
years.
Ask, like, oh, what do you do for a living? And they say, right now,
right.
Ooh,
that's
like it's
a temporary
situation.
Yeah, right now, I'm. It's never good.
Yeah, just the real cream of the crop. Those individuals just completely plastered out of their heads, dancing around to Uptown Funk.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was actually pretty entertaining.
Dan, what'd you do?
I dropped $300 and some odd on a suit, which I know isn't
like
expensive
a lawsuit
for a suit.
What
no,
was
no,
his
no.
name?
Ha.
Small claims
ha.
Or
ha? No, a. Part of my wardrobe.
Oh,
I have
clothes.
A funeral and a wedding to attend within a week. Okay. So need to go with the nice black suit. And then on Saturday, that was Sunday, which was sad to see my bank account drop. And then Saturday, I probably drank about $80 of champagne for only $15 because bottomless mimosas are God's gift to man.
Absolutely.
Except when you get hung over at 9:30 p.m. because you've just been day drinking sugar. 4 6 hours.
I was just gonna say, champagne gives me the worst fucking hangovers.
I always tend to throw up. Like, I mean, I
when
I
you drink, yeah, we.
I mean, no. I mean, yeah. But I mean, when I drink champagne, I don't know what it is, but I always
it's probably
tend,
the
like,
sugar, man,
or it's the carbonation too. Like, it's like putting like a M80 in my stomach that's just gonna shoot everything back up in 6 hours. From
so
now.
If you want to get sent home from work for being sick, you just bring a little champagne and.
Yeah.
Boss will send you home.
Yeah.
Yeah, just bring a canteen of it.
No, like, wine kills me. If I have more than 2 glasses, I will have the worst headache. But champagne, for some reason, seems to be all right. As long as I drink water, didn't do that. And I was paying for it. And
I think that's with anything. If you are smart about it and balance your drinks out with water.
Not even that, but it came on so quick and then I was paralyzed. And just went to sleep.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So, you know, that inciting life I live. But other than that, man, I don't know. I watched some NBA playoffs this weekend. There are 3 buzzer beaters.
There's some exciting stuff, yeah.
I probably watched more basketball this weekend than I have since last year's playoffs.
Wow.
But,
not,
I mean...
Not a big fan of the Heat and the Spurs?
No, I was. So, again, you know, not since last year I've watched much basketball. I'm a Clippers fan, so... of course, I'm very invested in that series. Hopefully, they wrap up shop tonight. We just saw the Cavs.
How did you describe
beat the
that?
Bulls.
What I think you described LeBron James in a way.
Yes, LeBron James penetrated the entire Chicago Bulls team without their permission.
Kind of like what you did to Brett. Yeah, like you said. What you
exactly
did to
what I did
it
to
was
Brett.
The show 15 on Saturday.
Yeah.
One should say that, you know, the Bulls kind of forgot how to play basketball.
They just...
If you're scoring 50 points in 3 quarters, you're having some issues.
Yeah. They could not find the hoop tonight.
And you know what? I think on Friday, people thought this series was going to go a different way. Because Derrick Rose banked in that buzzer beater to take that game away from Cleveland. And people thought, oh, 2-1 Bulls. Now they have a shot. They got the lead. I think it's something like 76% of teams that win Game 3 when it's tied 1-1 end up winning the series. So It just goes to show that LeBron just has a big old dick when it comes to basketball.
BDP, I believe they...
BDP.
They call him.
That's the acronym.
Yeah.
That is the acronym.
And then you had Paul Pierce, who's like 53.
Father Time.
The truth, with a buzzer beater on Saturday.
Did you see him burn the towel guy, too, at the end? That was the funniest. I mean, look that up if you want to see something funny. Yeah, too. As he's walking back after he nails it or whatever, the poor towel guy, like, goes to give him a high five and just... Like, he doesn't even see... Like, the guy doesn't even exist to Paul Pierce. It's kind of funny.
Oh, man. No, I missed that. I think it was more that... I think he got injured at the beginning of that game, again, and was on the floor for a while.
Right. That's his...
Was it him injuring himself? Or did he...
I'm sure someone breathed on him at some point. But I remember when he got... Did he get carried off in a wheelchair?
That was the 2008 finals, I want to say.
And then ran out, like, 5 minutes later.
Yeah, they thought, like, his knee had exploded. Like, he had to, like, his knee imploded.
Yeah. That's just what he does. He's very dramatic.
But, I mean... Yeah.
But to his credit.
I can't deny that.
He's got ice in his veins.
Well, even in last night's game, they were down by 2 points with like 12 seconds left. He hits a three with 8.3 left to go up one. And everybody thought that was going to be it. And that he hit another buzzer beater, another late game shot. But then the Hawks know how to rebound better than the Wizards. And Al Horford put in a shot with like 1.9 left. And beat them. So he almost had a string of killer shots to end games at the age of 74.
Can I say one thing about Paul Pierce?
He ages like a dog.
He has a face that he looks like he's perpetually smelling foul shit. Like, just, he's got a foul odor that he's smelling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, he's just got this mug on his face.
I believe they call that stank face.
Stank face. He has the same thing
about his face. I'm pretty sure it's waiting to hit puberty so it can actually grow facial hair.
Yeah.
Like, it is the worst.
He tries.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Just go baby face. Like, it just, it's, it.
He looks like a jackass prank where somebody else has thrown their pubes onto his face.
No, that's what beard, he looks like. That beard looked better than it's Paul Pierce's.
I mean, but that's... How long has it taken? 5 years to grow, like, two hairs on that face?
It's so patchy
that
it distracts me. Maybe that's why. It's strategy. So when someone's defending him, they get so confused by how awful his facial hair is that they forget that they're playing basketball.
Right. He looks like that homeless guy who hasn't showered in months on end. And his beard has turned into some weird combination of dreadlocks, dirt, and the trash.
Some of it's fallen out.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
It just looks like, you know, when a 13-year-old kid who gets his first facial hair and doesn't want to shave because he's like, yeah, I'm a man. That's what I'm going with. It looks terrible, but I hit puberty and you have it. Which I kind of fits with Paul Pierce. He wants everyone to know that he's a man.
Motherfucker, the hairs on your face are less than the fingers on my hands. Like, stop growing a beard. Sorry.
But other than the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference has been kind of crazy.
Yeah, it has.
The Grizzlies, who I like to think are the personification of if biscuits and gravy could rebound, is how I would describe their gameplay. And I think it fits.
Biscuits and gravy can't jump.
Well, neither can Zach Randolph.
Into my mouth.
Neither can Zach Randolph. I mean, you just got to think about it. They are just gritty, and they play as a team.
Oh, so it's a side of grits.
So you're just hungry.
It's a side of grits.
I may have come up with this analogy. Yeah.
And Mike Connolly plays like scrambled eggs.
No, scrambled eggs is Tony Allen. They are just... grinders. They are the blue collar team.
Food. Oh, yeah. Food. Pepper. So who's the pepper? Who's the pepper?
That'd be Mike Connolly. But yeah, no, they're the blue collar team that's left in the playoffs. They do the dirty work that gets them results. They don't have flashy play. They get beat up and they still play. Mike Connolly has a broken goddamn face and he's still out there.
Broke ass face.
He does. But Paul Pierce's face is still more broken than Mike Connolly's. Yeah.
I don't know if you could break Mike Connolly's face more, though, too.
It's pretty bad.
It is pretty awful.
The only thing I've seen that was worse was Russell Westbrook when he broke his ocular bone, and it was like a hole.
Yeah.
Like, that's when...
That was
Saggy Eye Syndrome. it's Saggy Eye Syndrome. And like, you look like a pirate from Goonies.
That was like one of the injuries, like, you're playing around when you're kids, and like, your friend accidentally gets elbowed, and he's like, no, I'm okay. And he like, pulls his hand away, and you see the hole, you're like, no, you gotta tell your mom. Like, this is serious.
Right.
You should go to the doctor.
And don't tell your mom you were playing with us.
Yeah. Please,
no.
We were never here.
And there's no way he can deny the fact that he doesn't look like a battle toad after that injury either.
He looked like Donatello if he took one to the face from Bebop. That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
Not Rocksteady.
He looks
Rocksteady.
Like an amphibian.
Rocksteady is a bitch.
Yeah.
Rocksteady.
I never thought you were so passionate about villains from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Don't get me started on TMNT.
How do you feel about Krang, really quick?
You know what? I'm alright.
Okay.
It's a little weird, but...
It's a lot weird.
Same way I feel about Krang.
Tyler Perry as Baxter.
You know what? Because
that is really
I happening. Hate Tyler Perry.
Wait. Hold on.
You know this?
No, I did not.
Yep.
Tyler Perry is somehow getting himself in another movie which he doesn't belong.
Yeah, sorry to bring this 90 degrees for a second. But yeah, Tyler Perry is playing Baxter in
Madea
the
does TMNT.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay, I will say, he was pretty fucking good in Gone Girl.
Okay, yes, because he's making fun of white people.
Is he?
Have you seen Gone Girl?
Yeah.
All he does is talk about how this is white people shit. White people are crazy.
He's like the modern day Riggs from Lethal Weapon. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm too black for this shit.
Why is he in Star Trek? Tell me that.
Why is he... He's in Star Trek?
Yeah, he's the like head of the Starfleet Academy Judicial Board.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Which, that didn't make sense. When we were watching the movie, my roommate, Ashton, tells me, that's Tyler Perry. And I don't know. That's not Tyler. That can't be Tyler Perry. And then...
He snuck his way into another movie
Tyler
set.
Perry. I'm like, wait, why is he in this movie? It's not Tyler Perry Presents.
So going back to people getting beat up, though, well, we're going off on a 90-degree tangent for a second, but going back to getting people beaten up, somebody else had a really cheap shot in the playoffs.
I think it was cheap.
I think it was the dirtiest. It was one of the dirtiest things I've seen in a while.
Okay. Are you talking about Taj Gibson?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead and explain what happened. I want to hear your side.
He kicked the dude. I don't think I need to explain more than that, but what's your side of the story?
You're talking about when... the Cleveland guard was down the floor, and he got kicked. That's what you're talking about?
So Taj Gibson didn't kick him?
If you rewatch it...
So he kicked himself?
If you rewatch it, they get tangled up, and Taj Gibson, because he's big, he's standing, and the Cleveland guard's on the floor. Taj goes to run back up the court, and the guard leg locks him. He squeezes his legs around one of Taj Gibson's legs. And
MMA
he doesn't
style.
Really kick. He kind of like shakes him. And then he ends up, when he's shaking his leg, the guy lets go. And he gets a little stomped on.
Yeah.
Not vicious like a Dominican Sioux or anything like that. And they threw him out because of that, and he argued. But it wasn't like outrageously dirty. It wasn't like he saw somebody on the floor like Christian Leitner did and like stepped on him. It wasn't like that.
Yeah, it was just like a natural reaction.
Yeah, if someone wants to hold onto your leg, you're going to try and shake them free. And if they get kicked, it's their own damn fault for holding onto their leg. So, I mean, even though I don't really like the Bulls, I didn't think Taj Gibson deserved to be ejected for the game.
Now, is he out for a game? Well,
it
doesn't matter now, right?
It was just the rest of that game.
Okay.
I think what they should have done is just double T and been on their way.
Yeah,
just give them both technical fouls, and then they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he needed to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Reprimanded so harshly?
No, he didn't need to be...
Thrown out of the game? Ejected?
Ejected, thank you. I couldn't come up with that fucking word. Ejected?
Ejected?
It left me. I kept wanting to say...
Did it eject from your vocabulary?
It did. It was ejected from my vocabulary. But no, man, and I was a little afraid though that the Warriors we're going to get knocked out, but it looks like they've taken a commanding lead up 3-2. And I think they may close it out.
Yeah, they're going to shoot themselves. Not shoot themselves. They can shoot out of any deficit that they have. They're unbelievable. Splash Brothers are the real deal.
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, even when they're not shooting well, they're still keep making it a game with the Grizzlies, which I think is a testament.
I mean, how hard is it to be biscuits and gravy, you know? Well, no, also,
you know what? It's very hard to be biscuits and gravy.
I mean, to beat it as like a meal to try and find something else that's going to top it, yes. But to beat it on a basketball court, I mean, I'll be biscuits and gravy 7 days a week. It's not difficult. It can't move. I'm going to go 21 nothing.
Sticking with that analogy,
eat it,
bro,
as a break, and then continue to play an empty plate.
Team. You can't eat the opposing team.
Watch me.
You know, speaking of bullshit, the punishment for Tom Brady came down this week.
Yeah, sure did.
And I was so happy.
Goodell just laying Thor's hammer on him.
Mjolnir?
Yeah, however you pronounce it.
I don't know, it's different every time. Anthony Hopkins pronounces it different every time, and he's an actor in the movie. So
You can't expect Chris Hemsworth to have like consistency in any acting role. The guy's a fucking teen actor. What? Anyway.
He's great in Rush.
Okay. That's a Ron Howard movie. Anybody's great in a Ron Howard movie. Go. Continue. Let's continue.
He made Jim Carrey a good actor.
Yeah, come on. Quit. Put your fucking phone away right now.
Sorry.
Dan has been distracted for a million times. I'm putting the fucking phone
away. You know
away
what? Right Sorry. Now. It's just figuring stuff out with stuff.
Okay.
And I apologize.
That's stuff fine. On stuff.
Stuff on stuff. So, anyway, we got a Deflategate punishment that happened.
Yes.
Right? Tom Brady got what? He got 4 games suspended. The Patriots got hit with $1 million fine, and they lost the first round draft pick and the next year's
2017
like, fourth round. Which, what, it, like, does that mean anything, or is that just kind of like a... Like a little bit of a...
Yeah, that's just a big fuck you. That's just Goodell's like, hey, fuck you.
Okay.
We're gonna take a first round pick, and then we're just going to take a random pick mid round from you a couple years later.
Now, what I'm curious about, though, is like, I don't know too much about the logistics of this. Now, if they lose their pick for the first round, I was talking with my mom the other day, actually, about this. If they lose their first pick for the first round, does that negate their possibility for trading up into the first round?
Yeah.
Okay,
they just
so they're
don't have
completely
a first pick to trade.
They're completely not allowed to participate in the first round draft.
Yeah, instead of 32 picks, now it's 31 picks.
And there's no way that the Patriots at all can trade
yeah,
to
they
do
can.
Anything.
Yeah, they can.
Oh, so they can be
they
in
just,
the first
31. Yeah, just, oh, yeah. So think like okay. The Patriots will probably finish in the playoffs because their division sucks. So think that their pick was probably around 26th. You know, if they don't win the Super Bowl.
Your phone
so,
sucks to sit on, by the way.
Good. It's going to end up being like 25th to 27th. Like, that pick will never exist. They can't trade it. They can't. It has no value. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
So they just take it away from the draft. But the Patriots, if they wanted to, trade their second, third, and fourth round and move up into the first round if they wanted. They could do whatever they wanted. They could trade for another first round pick. And Goodell can't touch that one because basically the other team would draft their player and just trade that player to the Patriots.
Now, is there any way, like, has that ever happened before historically where they've just not allowed anybody to participate in the first round draft? Or is that like...
Yeah, so I think they... Didn't the Patriots get one taken away for Spygate?
No, they got drafted anyway, but they could
it was a
first
round pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean like not be able to trade
like
up
not
the first
be allowed
round.
To participate in the first round of the draft?
Oh, no, that would be unprecedented.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
okay.
not It's not like college football where if they say you can't be in a bowl game.
Okay.
Like, because, you know, those are invitations, so the bowls pick who they want to play in their games. It wasn't like that. It's basically they just take away an asset from your team, and that doesn't exist anymore.
Now, how do you think... I think we can all agree that Tom Brady's probably shitting bricks right now, a little bit.
No, Because he's a douchebag. Well, he's an arrogant douchebag, and he doesn't care. Douchebag. Because he thinks he's going to get off.
I think that's what's... Actually, let's talk about that for a second, too. I'll say something about that. I think that's what's really frustrating about talking to specifically Boston fans about this. Because I've had patience with a lot of obnoxious sports fans throughout my... I've been a San Diego fan my entire life. I've had to deal with really, really crappy foreign fans. The thing is, with Boston people, with this particular thing that's happening, and it even happened with Spygate a little too, is their excuse for this entire thing is, well, everybody cheats. We're the only one that does it. And Allison made a great point like a couple days ago. She goes, imagine that fucking flying for any other, in any other realm whatsoever. Imagine me fucking cheating on Allison and going, hey, well, everybody fucking did. Yeah. Like, hey, everybody does it these days. Come on, that I'm okay, right? Like,
right, it was steroids in the 90s, like, you know? Everybody does it.
It's such a bullshit excuse to fucking get you away from any guilt that you're actually serving. And then you see this just disgusting kind of defense of, like, factual evidence that this guy is guilty of it. Now they've come out and said that there's a deflator and there's a different excuse for why they called this guy the deflator. Did you guys read that
article? It is the... That's what I think upsets me the most. Because it's like, we think everyone else that's not us is dumb.
Yeah.
Everyone else that's not us is stupid.
Yep.
So let's tell them this. And so what was it, Brett? What was the other excuse that they were calling the equipment manager who deflated the balls the deflator? In text messages from Patriot employees.
So they released today that the deflator is actually somewhat of an overweight guy. And what he's had pressure, as he's been in the locker room, a lot of people have told him he needs to slim down. He's known that he needs to slim down. That's what they just, you know, now call him, is the deflator, because they want him to trim down on his weight as... You know, somebody.
Oh my god! I did not know.
They were like, "He's." We were trying to lose weight, so we started calling him the deflator.
Yes. So I mean, it's like this continual. Just admit that you guys.
Yeah,
did
you know what it is.
Wrong.
It's a little kid who got caught in a lie, and just doesn't learn his lesson
at all,
and can't just say, "All right, you got me."
But like, this would have been so different if one. They cooperated with the investigation. A lot of people don't also understand that the Patriots didn't cooperate at all. Brady didn't turn over his text messages or his phone. The Patriots didn't help the league at all.
No.
They stonewalled him. That's why they got hit with the fine, and that's why they got the draft picks taken away, because that, they determine if you are impeding an investigation, is detrimental behavior to the NFL.
Yeah. Which is true.
Which is absolutely true.
Because at least Baltimore were like, here's everything. Just here's Ray Rice. Yeah, he hit her. Here it is. And they fucked it up, which is good. Because, you know, not only is the excuse, well, everybody cheats, just awful, because it doesn't make cheating right. It there's the other excuse that's like, well, it didn't really help him that much.
Bullshit.
You still broke the rule. You still took a chance to cheat.
It's a rule for a reason.
Yeah. And then the last one that I like is, oh, well, Ray Rice only got 2, but you want to give Tom Brady 4? And I'm like, no, just because they messed up when it came to handing down punishments a year and a half ago doesn't mean they shouldn't correct themselves and be stricter. It's not setting a precedent. They changed their whole policy on how many games you should be suspended for what.
And they've already been an organization that has been caught doing something
multiple times. Yeah.
Learn your lesson just once.
And they
just
use the same excuses. Everybody does it.
Yeah, yeah. And the most frustrating thing about it too, the most frustrating thing about this too, was the ego that these guys had as soon as that Ted Wells report came out. Because they're like, you know what? We're really disgusted in the Ted Wells report. We're disgusted with how they came to this conclusion. We're disgusted with this. We're disgusted with this. And like I told everybody, I was like, you know, that's like me going into Best Buy and trying to steal something from Best Buy. Best Buy finding me, catching me trying to steal something, calling the cops on me, arresting me at Best Buy, and then me going to the news and going, you know, I'm disgusted with how Best Buy handled things. I'm a little disgusted with how
who
they...
Who doesn't steal from
like,
Best Buy?
I'm disgusted with how they acted when I broke the rules and, you know, let's completely disregard that I did anything illegally or anything against the rules. Let's blame it on the party that's now punishing me for... It's just this, like Brian, you said, it's this kid mentality that's going to continue to perpetuate itself until something happens to them bigger, I think.
When this came out, Tom Brady just went, you know what?
The truth will come out.
Yeah, like I like my footballs a little less pressure. Time. Like I like them a little flatter. You know, so I don't know what the barometric pressure is, or like, I don't know what the PSIs need to be. So I just asked the guys, can I get a little, you know, flatter? I didn't know, so that's on me. I take responsibility. I didn't know I couldn't do that. I didn't know it was against the rules. You know, sorry. If he says that at the very beginning when they came out, he's not suspended 4 games.
Oh, no.
They're not fined $1 million. No. They're not losing draft picks. They're going to get a $25,000 fine.
That's what's
going to happen.
What I think a lot of people, too, are like kind of forgetting about, too, during this whole Deflategate thing is this isn't like a cleat, or this isn't like a helmet, or just some like somewhat irrelevant material in the game. This is the sport. The football is the actual, that is the golden nugget. So imagine if somebody lightened the baton in a relay race, or somebody did something so detrimental, if somebody was playing with different baseballs, that is what they did to this game, and they're only getting 4 games and $1 million punishment?
Yeah, like, I think that's the best example is, imagine if a baseball team were using different bats to hit.
And the Patriots or Boston fans like to use, well, baseballs, cricket too, they... People put pine tar on their bats, or on the pitchers use pine tar, or they'll spit on it or anything like that. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, because any alteration you make to the ball that you're using in the game has an impact. So that's when people, then I go, well, so how does that not affect when you deflate the ball more? It's so much easier to hold on to. And if you look at the fumble rates for New England, I think I brought this up right when it came out like 2 months ago, but the fumble rates are astronomically different than the average of the league.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and especially in bad weather.
Yeah.
Which, when you play New England and in that division, you play
inevitably going to be,
you play in bad weather at least a third of your game.
It's not like they've had 4 proficient skill players for the past 5-6 years all playing together who never fumble. They have intermixed pieces every year. It seems like they have 2 new running backs, 2 new wide receivers, because they don't re-sign anybody. Like, it's just an ever-changing roster that's even more unbelievable. You're not gonna have 1 guy that has a fumbling problem, or 2 guys that maybe can't hold on to the football every now and then.
Yeah, Stephen Ridley had a little bit of a fumbling problem.
Oh, he did get benched. I forgot. I will say, yes. Bill Belichick does bench you for like 3 games if you fumble once,
because I did draft him well in the second round of my NFL fantasy draft.
Maybe that's why Belichick gets so pissed when people fumble, because he knows the balls are deflated, so you shouldn't be fumbling.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can't hang on to a deflated ball,
get off my squad.
Yeah, you're warming the bench. But, see ya, Rook.
And the other thing, especially being from San Diego, is there's the whole stick'em controversy that happened under Norv Turner, like, I don't know, like 8 years ago or something now, where there was a towel that was on the Chargers sidelines that had stick'em on it, and that it was claimed that they were putting it on the footballs. And if stick'em, if you don't know what it is, it's exactly what the name says.
It's very sticky.
Helps you hold on to the football. And you know what the Chargers did? They gave the NFL every piece of evidence and everything they could ever want. And that's why they only got a $20,000 fine.
Yep.
Because they were like, okay, it's minimal. It didn't affect the outcome of the game. We've got the proof. Don't do it again, or we'll crucify you. Boom.
Yeah.
If the Patriots had taken that route, we wouldn't be talking about them right now.
I know. It's it's just so astronomically stupid that they won't just tell the truth about such, I mean, I don't want to say little, because then it kind of diminishes the fact
the
that
impact
it's cheap. Right. But in that same breath, you know, it's something that's just within the minutiae of the game, just to be like, oh yeah, our bad, we'll fix it, we won't do it again, let's move on, you know? Instead of going through this whole dramatic song and dance, he said, she said, he did, she didn't. And I mean, you look at the text messages, and it's it.
It's
game over.
Blatant, right there.
Yeah, it's completely damning. Tom Brady texting, you know, with all those people. Like, it's...
That's why I say, watch some Law and Order, people. If you're going to commit crimes, get some burner cell phones.
Yeah.
They cost $40. They'll never come back to you. Don't let a drug dealer be smarter than a college-educated professional athlete.
Yeah.
And a Boston fan is the equivalent to that shitty kid when you were growing up that got in trouble for doing something really shitty and then was like, well, Brian took something the other day, you know. Blah, blah,
blah, the fucking like, rat.
God damn it. Fucking Jimmy again. Really?
Jimmy the rat.
Jimmy the rat.
Jimmy the rat.
Jimmy the rat.
No, so. Man, Boston fans are the worst. They're so bad that they are raising a GoFundMe to pay the $1 million that the Patriots were fined. And I just... No! The NFL's so rich. Robert Kraft could write a check for $1 million and it wouldn't hurt him at all.
Oh, no. It'd be like him losing a button on his shirt.
Like,
insignificant.
They are, as ridiculous as it sounds, this analogy, they're the Scientology of the NFL, like sports organizations or whatever.
That's a very good...
You have these just idiotic fans that just blindly follow and support this organization for everything that they do, regardless of their... Just...
I'll do one better. They're not Scientology. They are the Westboro Baptist Church.
There we go. Yeah.
Ooh.
There we go.
Of sport fans.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole
Gauntlet
city.
Is thrown.
Yeah.
And it's, trust me, Boston, I
Tom
hate,
Brady.
The only time.
Brady.
The only time my heart has gone out to Boston
Tom.
Was during the, you know, the bombings at the marathon, because that was sad and that was undeserved. And at least they went out and they got, you know, the perpetrators. But I hate Boston outside of that. I'm sorry. I could care less about the Patriots. I hate the Red Sox. And the Celtics, thank God Paul Pierce is gone, because that was just another reason to hate on the Celtics. The Bruins are dirty. Dirty hockey team. Don't like them. So don't do it. I will never visit Boston.
Yeah.
What about the WNBA team?
Ooh. They exist?
I don't even know if they have a WNBA team.
I don't know what they do. Stumped us there.
Right, throwing the curveball.
If they do, they're all dumb bitches.
Well, wait, no. It could be like a double negative. Like, the WNBA team, because it's like probably the worst team in Boston, could be like great people, because they're such a bad team. Playing
okay.
A bad sport. I'm trying to flip the positive, man.
But, I mean, at certain points, each one of the individual teams has been the worst.
It's very true. Also, the accent is just terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I
it only
Tom!
It only works if you are Matt Damon,
you're my boy,
and Ted Affleck in Good Will Hunting.
And they were assholes in that movie.
Oh. Yeah. Ben Affleck, huge asshole.
The first like second scene,
Retainer.
The first second scene is when he jumps out of the car to beat some guys up in a park.
Yeah.
Just, and you have no context. You're like, oh, this happens.
Yeah.
They're assholes.
Yeah. How you like them apples?
So anyway. But yeah. I think we're all feeling pretty good about this, but I think there's, if I could say it, I think there should be more of a slap on the wrist. More of a...
No, I'm fine with four
face.
Games.
Yeah,
four games.
Quarterback for four games, that's
it's pretty detrimental.
That's a big fucking...
And that's what I told you. I was like,
and
four games, that's a fourth of a season, if you look at it.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have Tom Brady, you'll still go 11-5, because that's what Matt Castle did.
They should have what they should have.
Because Tom Brady's not that good.
If they wanted to pull a real dick move, what they should have done is just pick some random years in the next couple, like 5 years from now, and been like, first round draft pick in 2018. All right. And sixth round draft pick next year. Okay.
What I would have done is I would have put the 2 years in sealed envelopes. And then every year when the draft comes up, you just look. You see if it's that year. And you go, no, Patriots, not this year. So they never know when it's coming until it's the day of the draft. And they no longer have a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah,
and
that's
then, and then maybe kick each one involved in the nuts. Just like once.
Yeah.
Just like one swift kick.
Just I think that'd be, you know, pretty deflating.
Yeah.
I think another...
Absolutely.
To continue talking about this, I think another thing that's really funny is Gronkowski's blind faith in supporting Tom Brady. Because that's like somebody that, I mean, if we're going to equate it back to kids and stuff, that's like when you got into deep shit in like middle school or whatever, and then your doofus friend was the one that was trying to explain the situation, and you're like, no, Tommy, don't, no. You don't, no, I don't want you in here telling the story. I don't even want you. You're hurting me. You're hurting my cause. No. Oh, now I'm expelled. Oh, no, really? It was supposed to be suspension.
I will give the Patriots credit. Because you know how they treated this, how they treated Spygate? That's how we all knew Aaron Hernandez was really guilty. Because they didn't stand up for him at any point. They never made a comment. They didn't do anything. They were like, yeah, we reserve the right to comment on
everybody this situation. Everybody kills people. Everybody kills people.
No,
we're not the only organization that does that.
And that's how you knew they already knew how fucked up Aaron Hernandez was.
Yeah.
That they were like, oh, yeah, so he got arrested for murder. Made sense. Okay, so Gronk, new starting tight end.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to need another beer and maybe a break after all this Boston talk.
Yeah, let's switch the subject after this. We got some interesting stuff to talk about, though, next half. We got Brian's movie reviews.
Yay, yay.
Avengers and what else, Brian?
And Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Oh.
Which I definitely want to talk about because the movie...
We're definitely talking about Godzilla first, right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Because the movie takes place in Japan and the States, and the pronunciation of Godzilla is like apples and oranges different.
Ooh. Curious.
I'm excited.
I am curious.
So I think this is our episode about Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor, whatever his last name is.
Yes. They are in both movies.
I like this theme.
And they're brother and sister in one and husband and wife in the other.
I didn't know Elizabeth Olsen was in Godzilla.
Godzilla. With that,
curious.
Please come back after the break.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Brett here with Pop Not Soda. Thanks for checking out the episode. Hey, I wanted to do a shout-out for my buddy's band, Future Age. Future Age is a four-piece alt-rock band from San Diego that revisits nostalgic sounds similar to Hum, Sunny Day Real Estate, Smashing Pumpkins, and Dinosaur Jr. They've been through all the motions of finding a conclusive sound, but within every one of their songs is a compliment to the beloved music of the 1990s. Hoping to remind the masses that alternative rock is still alive, Future Age will continue to release self-produced music for free. This is an attempt to not only to capture an audience, but to show listeners that their music is easily available and can be connected to. Whether or not they receive reimbursement will not stop them from constantly producing good, good music. Future Age longs to create a scene in the melting pot of music in San Diego and has to offer... and they will continue to play around town regularly. Catch them on May 23rd at the Ken Club with Ash Williams and Plain Without. 21 and up, $3 a cover, and doors open at 8:30. Once again, that's May 23rd at the Ken Club with Ash Williams and Plain Without a Pilot. 21 and up, $3 cover, and the doors open at 8:30. Check them out, Future Age.
Saxophone every time.
I know it's cold and wet out there, but that music will warm you right up. As well, that hot chocolate that you're sipping with 2 to 3 marshmallows in it, along with that plate of brownie bites, is mighty appetizing. But I'll tell you what, put that down because your ears are about to get eaten alive with the truth about two movies. This week, two films starring an actor and actress One being Elizabeth Olsen.
Ooh.
Of the captivating Olsen family. She's
younger,
the
right?
youngest sister.
How really? Much younger? And she's the one that's been naked in the movies?
And she is the one that has been naked in the movies.
She's the one that I'd probably want to see naked in the movies.
Absolutely.
She's very attractive.
I would take one Elizabeth Olsen over two Olsen
over
twins.
Over the twins?
Absolutely.
Yep. Chalk it up. Vegas
7 days a week. That's Floyd Mayweather.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Guarantee.
Yes. The other actor, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Three names. Gotta be good.
Who I still can't picture outside of Kick-Ass. He will
so
forever be Kick-Ass and that fucking mousy little slapdick character.
I think
anyway,
a good medium to kind of move you from Kick-Ass to other roles is Savages.
Yeah, he's pretty unrecognizable in Savages.
Yeah.
I won't give him that.
But he's got like that Americanized little whiny type of accent still.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay, it's Kick-Ass guy, but he grew up and sells a lot of weed and has dreads. Okay. And then you forget about Kick-Ass.
The problem with every actor in Savages was like, this is everybody I've ran into in UC Santa Barbara. so I don't know who's recognizable as an actor to who. Yeah. Anyway, Brian.
We won't be reviewing Savages. It's not worth
Damn
our
it.
Time. John Travolta is in it. That's all we have
negated,
to say.
Negated
yeah.
right there.
But the two movies that I will be reviewing today, both Marvel origins.
What?
Godzilla was originally a Marvel comic.
Throwing some stuff on us. I did not know
Godzilla?
That.
Godzilla?
Godzilla.
The other movie.
Scooby-Doo.
No, that was
we forgot
Asian
to mention.
Inquiry, right
Scooby-Doo
there.
Is our guest movie reviewer today.
You missed the graphic over Brett's head with the question mark and three dots in cloud balloon form.
Scooby snacks are popping up right now.
And then like a teardrop right by his eye.
Yeah. Real quick before we get on the movies, anyone ever figure out why Scrappy-Doo could speak English but Scooby couldn't?
I think Scooby-Doo was autistic.
Okay. Or I just thought
that's
he
smoked.
I thought
so
he,
and that's how he could get so much marijuana.
I thought he smoked himself
shaggy.
Stupid. That's what I thought.
He had one too many Scooby snacks.
He did.
And just fucking fried his brain.
Yeah.
So sorry about that sidetrack, but let's get back to
Godzilla.
Back to Godzilla. Well, I'll have to announce the other Marvel movie that I'll be reviewing. That is Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, also starring Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson. In the first movie, Godzilla, they play husband and wife.
You can't see, but as Brian, every time he says Godzilla, he puts his hands together in front of his chest.
Godzilla.
It's very proper.
Well, that's my biggest pet peeve about this movie is it takes place in Japan where you get Bryan Cranston for like 10 to 15 minutes and then he just fucking disappears.
Wait, he's not in the whole movie?
That was oh,
like
no.
The selling...
Oh, absolutely
yeah.
not.
Oh.
Oh, it's a travesty.
Oh, that's
it's
a
trick.
That's a trap.
Yeah.
Admiral Akbar would declare that a trap.
It's actually
yes.
directed by M. Night Shyamalan and he pops out like 20 minutes in. That's the twist.
It's a twist.
No more Cranston. Yeah, Bryan Cranston plays the father of Aaron Taylor Johnson. There is a very traumatic event that is the instigating event at the beginning of the movie and lays tracks for the explanation of how these, like, dinosaur alien creatures come to invade Earth. So the premise essentially is that somehow radiation has awoken these ancient creatures that have just been like chilling for presumably hundreds of millions of years because they're the size of
cities.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can never really
that big. Were they a little smaller? I always
in, like,
imagine
original
them to
movies?
Be like the size of Power Rangers.
It's just
because
the scale
okay.
and the effects.
Very true.
You know,
because I think Power Ranger villains were also just guys in suits,
right?
So.
Exactly. Where this is all CGI, you know, 200 foot.
Yeah, man, it's huge, nuts.
Crazy.
I thought Pacific Rim, they were abnormally big, but wow.
Mind you, too, everything that we grew up on at Godzilla was built on like one soundstage with paper mache. That was like 10 feet tall with a guy, or I mean like 2 feet tall with a guy that's wearing a dinosaur costume. So scale is completely just thrown out the door for the original.
Very much so.
Original Godzilla.
It was, I mean, I don't want to keep interrupting you, but I was a little taken back by how large they were.
Yeah.
Specifically, I mean, the scene in Vegas. That really kind of like showed me the scale of how freaking big they were.
Well, that's one thing that cracks me up about, you know, this movie and like every other monster movie out there is that there's just so much death and destruction. And, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people are being just murdered, you know, through the complete decimation of these cities. And the news is like, oh, hey, everybody's good now. We won't really talk about the 100,000 people that have been wiped out in the span of a couple hours. You know, we're just all good and safe now. But to continue with Gojira. The movie is pretty much what you would expect if you have seen the movie that you're just talking about with the
Pacific
monsters.
Rim.
Pacific Rim. If you've seen Pacific Rim, very similar in regards to the fighting, the action sequences. I will say there is one really cool scene in the movie that was pretty original. So there's a team of Marines, military guys that skydive out of this, you know, like giant plane, right? A big group of them. And they show them all falling, a lot of it in like POV through Aaron Taylor Johnson. And it shows them going through clouds because it's like storming, and then through a fight between Godzilla and this other monster.
Oh, wow.
And it's showing it from his perspective. It's like he's seeing these two massive fucking dinosaur creatures fight and then, you know, eventually getting to the ground and all that. So that was really cool, and you know, something that I haven't seen before. But outside of that, it's, you know, pretty good monster movie. The ending is just so Hollywood and unbelievable. It's just something that they put together. You know, they probably thought about, okay, like, can we kill a character? Nah, we can't.
Sequels.
Like it's still PG-13, and there might be sequels. Let's have everyone.
Why kill the cow?
Yeah, don't except for Bryan Cranston. You never know what happens with Bryan Cranston.
Which, I would have had it the other way around. I honestly, Bryan Cranston's character was so captivating, and his sense of fear and maybe paranoia, you can even call it, was so on point. Because there's the scenes with him, you're actually afraid of what you're like going to find. Like, it's this sense of suspense and like, oh God, what is it? What are we going to find? What's actually going on? That after his character's not on screen, where you kind of don't have. And that's even with my biggest thing in the movie, you don't see a lot of Godzilla.
Wait, so I guess like that's what I'm kind of confused about now. So I always thought that Godzilla, I haven't seen this, but I always thought Godzilla was the bad guy. So there are two monsters in this one?
There are. Traditionally, okay. Godzilla has actually just been kind of a neutral character, if not on the good side.
Like the defender, you know,
eventually he becomes basically like a speed dial, where the Japanese scientists are like, oh shit, here's another monster. We need Godzilla. Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep. Yo, man, what you doing? Oh, chilling, cool. Can you come help us out and fucking destroy this flying...
So that nuke program didn't go as well as we planned, and we got another little big bug flying around or whatever.
Right. The remake, you know, whatever it was 10 years ago with Matthew Broderick, that wretched piece of garbage, that made Godzilla a very villainous lizard.
A mom?
kind of like a T-Rex. It was like a T-Rex.
Right,
like
right.
a bigger version
and
of
that,
a T-Rex.
And that movie, other than, I think, Hank Azaria being one of four major characters, which also not going to go well, but the fact that it was the, I think, the so product placed.
I know we've talked about Pepsi that in movies. Was like everywhere.
It's the worst product placement for a movie I think I can ever remember. And it took away from what Godzilla is, and I think that's one thing this movie did right, was they made you, like, buy into the, not even mythology, but the legend of Godzilla, and it had you root for it right off the bat. Because once you kind of hear the background, you're like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, let's go, Godzilla, let's do it. And then the fight scene, even though there may not be a lot of what you want to see, is completely epic. Even though it's not like Pacific Rim where it's a whole movie of big baddies fighting, they had their points and they were really good at it.
Yeah, I agree. The actual fighting in the movie is really cool. And then the culmination where Godzilla takes out the other monster is pretty fucking rad. It would be so much better if they had Bryan Cranston in it the whole way. Because with him, it just felt like a movie with all this other crazy shit going on. Mm-hmm. When he leaves, it's just, you know, a giant monster movie with disposable characters who are there for the sake of being...
paper-thin plot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you could tell they were like, we have Bryan Cranston, so let's write him this really solid character. And then they finally kind of phoned home on the other ones, I felt like.
Yeah, for sure. And like I mentioned, the ending, total Hollywood, just ridiculous. But all in all, entertaining movie. And for Gojira, I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 paychecks. But it's on that like border of 4 because it's a good movie. It's entertaining. And it's got some pretty cool monster action. So if you're into that.
What's the scale of monsters? Because I've been curious about this. I've seen Pacific Rim. Monsters bigger in Godzilla? Same size? Smaller?
Yeah, I'd say about the same size, if not a little bit bigger.
Okay.
Like, they're about the size of skyscrapers. Because eventually they come to San Francisco, and that's where, like, the...
the big showdown.
Right, the last final fight is. And they're all as tall as the buildings, if not a little bit taller.
The one walking through... the Vegas Strip just destroys half of it. And that to me, I told you, that was the first thing that put in perspective, like, how big it was. And I think also what changed is, like, Pacific Rim is a little bit in the future, and it's, like, it's Hong Kong. I'm not very familiar with Hong Kong, but you put it in San Francisco and Hawaii and Vegas, and it's a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Bringing it to the States.
To the States! Taking down bridges.
Monster dick in your face.
Landmarks.
So, sorry?
Yeah, this is my goddamn...
I'm just so excited. I'm so excited for what comes next. I just can't hold back.
So, the next feature film that I will be discussing is The Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Saw it in 3D. And there were no strings, even in IMAX 3D.
Nice.
This is the official theme song, if you didn't know, for Marvel Avengers, Age of Ultron.
I tried to write it out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, the Avengers
2. I'm so excited.
Avengers 2. I thought that it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It had great moments of action. I was actually, the only thing that really impressed me was how they had Vision, displayed in the movie, because he looked awesome. And I think Paul Bettany, not only was Paul Bettany's voice awesome for Jarvis, but just him as like a physical presence as Vision is just... such a great casting choice. And maybe that was their plan all along. It was to eventually have him, you know, become a physical actor in the movie. But that was really cool. You can't really beat a Marvel movie in 3D. So it was very entertaining. I do agree that the middle part, and if you haven't seen the movie, this shit's going to be full of spoilers, so fuck you, go see it.
That's very nice of Brian.
Yeah.
So at least, like, you know, spoilers ahead.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of spoilers.
Godzilla's been out for a year. Deal with your shit. But right here, that's very nice of you, Brian.
Yeah, so the middle part takes place in Hawkeye's home with his MILF wife and two bratty kids.
Freaks and Geeks.
Speaking of Scooby-Doo, she plays freaking
Velma.
Oh,
she was Velma in Scooby-Doo. Velma. Yeah, oh, that's so right.
But Avengers.
This part of the movie really fucking sucks. It's just so boring, and I feel like the whole reason for this, twofold, to humanize Hawkeye, and then I thought they were gonna kill him, which would have been great, but it starts the clashes within the group. And also illustrates a very tense love struggle between two characters. And no, it's not Thor and Iron Man. And yeah, I mean, you understand why they have to put these parts in films, you know, especially for the Marvel Universe where they're trying to connect everything and they're trying to push other characters and eventually set up this, you know, huge epic fucking pornography film of all these action stars.
Are you going to care at that point, you think?
I mean, I'm not necessarily going to care, but it's definitely entertaining and, you know, a better product than 95% of what else is in theaters. So I think that... again, you know, everything that happened in the movie, I'd expected. You do get introduced to two new characters. Well, multiple characters, but two main characters, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Again, this is Emily Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson, who are now siblings. They still probably fuck because they're from Russia.
It was a little weird, like that. Like the very first scenes, holding hands, kind of just. It was very intimate, spatial. I want to say placement of those two twins.
Yeah, together. And there's parts in the movie where they definitely look like a couple more than brother and sister. And after, well, I saw this before I saw Godzilla, so it wasn't that weird. If I had done the reverse order, it would definitely be fucking weird. But again, huge spoiler alert, so please cover your ears for probably the remainder of the show, if you don't hear. But they kill Quicksilver in the movie. Just in such a...
bullshit
such
fashion.
A tacky, yeah, cornball way. You for sure think that Hawkeye's going to get killed because he runs over and protects his kid. And they did all this elaborate backstory on him and, you know, really brought him down to earth. And you're like, oh, perfect. He's going to die. Great job, Marvel. And then all of a sudden, this new character that you're just introduced to who's... you know, got so much potential to do so many things, and there's so many different storylines you can do with him. Dunzo. But, you know, with Marvel, they could figure out some way to bring him back to life, insert him in, like, some time travel plot, which I'm sure they're going to do with X-Men, and he'll probably be around.
Now, I know that we're giving spoilers away, Brian, but can you explain the scene and how he dies, too? Because...
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So in this scene, Hawkeye. So basically, there's this town in like Switzerland or Norway, I don't even remember, where Ultron, who is the essentially the subconscious of Tony Stark, but a very direct subconscious of Tony Stark,
like an id.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like exactly.
The end of Tony
Stark.
Very
good description.
Yeah.
And Ultron becomes this character that decides the only way to protect Earth is to cleanse it because humans, which is true, are destroying the Earth. And he creates this like bomb thing, and he like lifts this town out of the ground, and it like slowly is rising in the sky, and he's basically going to drop it back down to Earth to create another meteor.
Which I thought was
dinosaur extinction.
You mean like DuckTales, the cartoon movie?
Did they do that with in DuckTales?
With the genie taking the town out of... Yeah, taking Duckburg up into the
and
sky.
And they were going to use it as a meteor?
Well, no, it went up to the sky, though.
And, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that point just made a little bit more epic for me, because I watched like Armageddon the week before I went. I was like, shit, fuck, a meteor?
That's from space, and that's real. That's not a fucking city that's getting pulled out of the fucking states and getting lifted up by a robot that has gravity, anti-gravity powers. Continue, Brian.
Yeah, so Ultron's able to control like a million fucking robot reincarnations. Ultron's, yeah. Ultron's essentially like it's his mind in all of these Tony Stark-esque robots. And what happens is he, you know, he lifts the shit in the sky. Everyone's fighting, yada yada. They start evacuating people off this island that's now turned into a floating city. Hawkeye's the last one on. Everybody on! Everybody on! Oh no, there's one kid who's left on the island, so Hawkeye jumps off.
Who, without a doubt, not to go on the side tangent, but has the hottest mother I've ever seen as an extra.
For an Eastern European.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that was like a woman that I've seen, like she was in like 10 scenes up to that point. It was like, is she going to have a bigger role in this? Because this is a really attractive woman.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so Hawkeye had to go save the MILF's kid, and he runs out to grab this kid. At some point, Ultron gets himself into a fighter jet.
Yeah, the Avenger
plane. Right, right.
Oh,
the Quinjet.
Okay, the Quinjet.
After he gets his ass beat, and they forget about him.
Right after he just gets destroyed, he takes Thor's hammer to the face. From Vision, which you're not just going to shake off, get up and walk away from. So yeah, he gets in the Quinjet. He starts to just lay people out with the Gatling gun. You know, slowly but surely lining up with Hawkeye to ice him. He turns his back to protect the kid. Gets shot. Way opens his eyes, turns around, and Quicksilver has run in front. And just eaten a cereal bowl full of 50 cal.
So, so mind you, Brian, because I've seen a couple scenes leading up to this, that Quicksilver has been actually able to run so fast he can stop bullets and place them in the right direction. How does it not happen in this scene?
It's probably because he doesn't catch it until it's like just happening.
Okay.
So he can't stop time. He can't, and maybe he's tired too, because he was, you know, he was running around.
Yeah, he was
just moving people out of the way as what was it? As a train was plummeting through the city,
and he can't stop bullets from hitting him in the middle of. And
I think what it was is if he's the one about to be shot, he can get out of the way. But because there was no time in between the bullets hitting Hawkeye, is he decided instead of trying to, I don't know if he could grab them or what he could have done, he decided to just try and move Hawkeye. And so he pushes them out of the way because he didn't think he was actually going to be fast enough to pick them up and carry them.
That seems like a really dumb move, though, if you've been somebody that's existed beyond time for so long. How do you not escape this one crucial moment where you get killed?
Because it's a movie, and they had to kill a character,
Can I tell you my theory of why Quicksilver died? And I love that when Brett, who has been begging for people to be killed off the Marvel Universe, finally gets that, he's upset about it.
I wasn't happy.
I know you weren't. Yeah. I thought when I saw it. I thought, Brett's going to be happy.
Nope.
Because they legitimately killed somebody.
But
it's because, you know what happened is Joss Whedon wrote this movie, and Joss Whedon is known for effectively killing off characters to advance plot and emotional connection, all that. He's done it in his previous shows, movies, very well. But he probably went, let's do Hawkeye. Let's send Hawkeye out ball flames, like, we'll give him this great bat story and everything. And Marvel went, yeah, no, he's got to be in Civil War, so you can't kill him. And he's like, all right, well, what about Black Widow? No. Okay, well, can I kill anybody? Thor? Hulk? No, no. We all need them for future movies. Okay, who can I kill? And they were like, hey, here's Quicksilver. We don't need him. That's what it came down to. Anyway. It came down to the fact that I think, and there are points in this movie that suffer, like the house scene, from the fact that this movie has to set up for four movies in the future. And that, and then I think that's the whole pressure of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where when you think it's so cool to connect everything, individual projects may suffer at points because they've got to set up and, you know, foreshadow previous projects.
So are we just going to be plagued to see setup movies for the next 5 years up until this Civil War actually happens, because they're going to continually introduce a bunch of marketable characters that they're going to commercialize and sell to kids?
I don't think so, because the worst one has been this one, because it's got everybody in it.
So you're admitting that this is the worst movie
of
the Marvel Universe?
No, worst at having to set up for multiple movies is what I mean. Like, because everybody's in it, and because they're about to head into the new stage, phase three or whatever, is they had so much responsibility on this one movie's shoulders that it suffered. And I think because what you're moving down to is the home stretch, where they're no longer needing to build up for the Avengers. Like, there's only one more Avengers story left. And Captain America has already been built up for, and Civil War isn't going to be building up for anything else. Because they're moving back towards introducing characters again.
Yeah.
They're not sequels anymore.
I understand.
They're bringing out the original, you know, they're bringing out Ant-Man, they're bringing out Doctor Strange. All these movies which are going to have more original plots that aren't burdened by the sequel factor.
But how long can you continually saturate something that is inevitably what people want to see, that is going to be weighted and weighted and weighted and weighted and like just saturated continually more and more until we actually see the end product of the Civil War? How many Hulk movies are we going to see? Because they've slated out Hulk movies now. How many Black Widow movies are we going to see? Like, that's the problem, is they're continually marketing and commercializing this product, where the comic book fans that want to see what we know is going to happen, we have no date of when we can go to the movie theaters and actually seeing this happen now, which is really frustrating to see as a, like, being a comic book fan.
What do you mean you have no date?
When are we going to see, like, the actual Civil War?
They already announced
Civil War, yeah. That's May.
Okay, and is that going to be the Civil War?
Yeah, that's the Civil War.
Okay.
One movie contained.
Okay. I am very, very curious to see how much of the Civil War actually is contained in one movie.
It has to be, because they're moving from that into Infinity Wars.
Right.
Because they're trying to, because like I said, they're on the home stretch.
That's a very, very, very paper thin though franchising kind of scheme, because at any point you've seen them do it right now, and you've seen them do it for every single franchise that they've made money off of. They're going to continue to like leak this product out until it gets the end, like the culminating thing of the Civil War.
Civil War is not the culminating event. That'll be Infinity Wars.
Well, I mean, but what are we seeing? Thanos now? Who we've seen in four movies that we don't give a shit about now? Who literally just popped up in the last movie and said, all right, I'm going to clean this up now because it's my thing to do? Like, how many times have we seen this guy where you should have kept him behind the scenes the entire time? Or, like, there are so many things that they have done with this product that is such a money-making scheme that is beyond people that are actually caring about this thing, I think, whatsoever.
Well, I think that's the most important part, is that these are billion-dollar movies.
Yeah.
And they're obviously going to continue to make as many as they can because it makes them a shitload of money.
Yeah.
And the Marvel Universe is so rich in all of these great characters, they actually have to figure out which ones that they want to run with, and the mass majority of the characters that they exclude. I totally get your point of view and your frustrations with just how like how big and grandiose and all inclusive they're trying to make, you know, the TV shows and the movies. But on the other side of the coin, like, I appreciate that as a fan, that they're not only willing, but at this point, and in my opinion, successfully bridging all of these singular products and coming up with maybe not, you know, the best finished product from all these individual ingredients, but a very entertaining and valiant effort. And, you know, like I continue to say, I'm really excited to see where they continue to go. And then especially after finishing Daredevil, I'm super stoked for the rest of the Netflix series that they're going to make. That's going to be pretty fucking cool.
I'll even say I finished this past season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think is the best example for your argument, is in their first season, they were so handicapped by storytelling because they had a major plot point of Captain America Winter Soldier, which they had to like buy time because this whole thing was going to happen that was going to affect basically their entire show, but they couldn't go anywhere. But they have rebounded and now have this probably last or this past week's 2-hour season finale is some of the best TV I've seen this past year.
And but I think what's really like, I guess what perturbs me about that is like, As a movie fan or as a like a movie craft fan or movie quality or anything like that, we understand the eventual like the inevitable product that they're leading to, the Civil War or the Infinity War, things like that or whatever. What's very frustrating as a movie fan or as somebody that enjoys movies is you see people making excuses for these really really like high budget movies that are blowing. I mean, obviously, like, Avengers 2 was one of the biggest budgets ever. And you have these people that are going, yeah, you know, it wasn't the best movie I've ever seen. But, you know, it has its place in what it should do for you know, what it needs to do for this series. Because all I want to see is this end. And, it wasn't the best thing, but it has its place here in it, and it serves its purpose or whatever. And it's like, no, like, as like take apart any of these movies as a standalone product, they're fucking garbage. I think a lot of these movies, Netflix series, Daredevil, seen that, high quality, good direction, good acting, but a majority of these movies that have come out are not good quality of movies. Like, I think Joss Whedon, even the quality of Avengers 1 was such a Ocean's 11 type of movie that his directing ability was so like cuckolded to his hip at that point.
I mean, I liked Avengers 2 Age of Ultron better than the first Avengers, and I do think Captain America Winter Soldier is an outstanding movie on its own. And I also would say the original Iron Man is great.
Yeah.
Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy is amazing.
Where did Iron Man end up? Iron Man 3. How was that movie?
I enjoyed Iron Man 3 a lot.
Okay. I think you're probably in the minority on that. And I think a lot of people see, like...
Wouldn't say so, because it made so much money.
A lot of money.
And
a lot of money.
Has, like, a above 70% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
But what I'm saying is, like, how
successful movie.
How frustrating is it to see a franchise that doesn't strike gold on its product and know what they need to do with it on like one or two that's going to continually saturate its product until you're frustrated with it and go, I'm done with it. I don't give a shit anymore. I think that's where you have a majority of comic fans right now is you see Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. You expect Tony Stark to really have a butting of heads. It's so minor to the plot of what's going on to this thing. You know that that's just going to be what carries the next film. It's frustrating to have these, like...
This movie was written before they announced they were doing Civil War.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just telling you.
I don't
like,
give a shit. Keep it its own movie. That's what I'm saying is, like, why do you need to...
Well, what I'm saying is, so that part of the whole... tension between Captain America and Iron Man was written before they even knew they were going to do Civil War. It was just
part of what they wrote. So did they not know? It was a coincidence. Were they balancing it halfway? Because that's really stupid to do. No, because they didn't know if they were going to do a third movie or they were going to end it. Like, that's what's really frustrating.
When I talk about the setup is the fact that, like, we were talking about a meaningful death. And I think that's where this movie suffered the most, is they had to sacrifice a new entry-level B hero because they couldn't kill off anybody else because they're tied to multiple movies.
That's
where I see the only frustration I have is where you're talking about you want to kill somebody, but you're like, oh, we can't because we want to put them in another movie. That's where I understand your frustration, but not in any of the other plot points. I don't see it there. And I mean, I can honestly say, like, when you're talking about the scale of how Marvel's doing with movies, that they raised the bar when it comes to these superhero movies. And
James Cameron raised the bar?
Oh, don't even get me started on that. But they kind of are changing the way you have to look at franchises, look at how you make movies, and look how you can balance all these superstars. They're not only paving the way, but they're changing how you look. And I mean, they have put out a quality product. When I hear bad, like, it's not like I have never enjoyed a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say that. I mean, you can watch a Marvel movie, it may not be the best movie, but you're enjoying it.
Howard
and
the
it's
Duck.
Better than other Marvel Disney movies. it's better than a lot, because you know what? If you want to talk about how shitty a movie is, how saturated the product is, go watch Green Lantern starring Ryan Reynolds.
Do not
and then come back
watch
and talk
Green
to
Lantern yeah. starring yeah. Blake Lively.
I do get what
with
you're
Ryan
saying.
Reynolds.
I do get what you're saying with that, Dan. They are strategically trying to franchise a good product, and I respect that.
It's okay not to like one or two Marvel movies. It's fine. So wait, I think we need a score, right?
Yes. To wrap up this lengthy
Brett and Dan's movie review.
Right. So Avengers 2, great addition with James Spader. He's got to be like the perfect guy to cast as a reflection of Tony Stark, who's Robert Downey Jr., of course. You got Vision coming in. You got a couple new characters as well that, at least with Scarlet Witch and maybe the Ghost of Quicksilver, are definitely going to have some big roles in upcoming Marvel franchises. So, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. I'm giving it 4 paychecks out of 5.
Ooh, okay.
Solid.
Okay.
Solid.
That's over what I was thinking.
Yeah, I enjoy action movies. I, of course, have maybe a slight
bias
with Marvel because I grew up with their comics. DC to a certain extent, but mostly Marvel. But it's just, you know, a great summer action film. Awesome in 3D. IMAX is a little intense. You might have a seizure or two. But definitely go see it in theaters. It's worth it.
I saw it 3 times.
Wow.
Standard 3D and IMAX 3D.
I want to know what the casting was like when Robert Downey Jr. is like, okay, so who's going to be my nemesis? And they're like, you know, we're thinking of James Spader from Less Than Zero. And he's like, you haven't signed him up yet? Okay, yes.
I mean, yeah, James. Like you said, James Spader is the perfect one to play odds of Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Yeah, they're like weird, sick.
I feel like they
step-brothers.
Wear the same sunglasses, which aren't really sunglasses.
Yeah,
they're always like the half-tinted, weirdly colored lenses.
Yeah, and they're always like a dick, but like still likable enough where you're like, you're a dick, but I still kind of want to be friends with you.
Because you're kind of funny. Out. Like, right. Yeah, it's okay, true.
James Spader is like the Rob Lowe's Rob Lowe of Robert Downey Jr. That's what I think it is.
Which one has cable, which one has satellite?
Like, yeah. I would say the cable one is James Spader.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, as we, I think, tend to do when we get into Marvel topics, I think that's going to be the show, guys.
Go Stan Lee!
Woo! Yeah, that man just making so much money. It's ridiculous. And his cameos, though, I think how well his cameos are done speaks for how well the movie does.
What was he in Avengers?
He was Which one of the older guys.
He was like an old army guy. Oh, yeah. He was an old army guy.
In Avengers 2, he is an old army guy that tells Thor to shut the fuck up, give me some of your Asgardian whiskey.
Yep.
We were on the beach in Normandy, bro.
Yeah.
And gets drunk.
He's becoming the
He gets the baby giraffe legs.
Yeah.
He's becoming the Kanye West of the Marvel movies, where he's like, all right, where can I shove myself that's going to be
I'm just telling you, quality of Stan Lee cameo, quality of movie. What is he in X3? He's watering his lawn. Mm. How good was that movie?
Fucking awful.
Exactly. Yeah. On that note...
He drinks whiskey in The Avengers too.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Spoiler. Again, thank you for joining us for this episode of Pop Not Soda. I have been Dan. If you care at all to keep up with what I do during the week, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Dan_Perez_. We have Mr. Brett Niece.
Woo!
At Niece's Pieces. And we have Sir Brian at...
Brian?
What's your Twitter account name? Little PP?
Yeah, at Little PP.
At Little PP.
At Little PP. If you don't know what that is, just Google Little PP and you will not be disappointed. If you care to keep up with our show...
Don't image search.
Don't image search.
Don't image search.
If you care to keep up with our show during the week, feel free to follow us on Twitter at pop_notsoda. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.